Christian Warriors Faith Living Bible Study Lesson Number 65, April 23rd, 2014. Open your Bible to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We're now ready to deal with the office of Christ as a shepherd. The office of Christ as the believer's shepherd. Before we begin, let's pause for solemn prayer to give you time to make sure that you're under the filling of the Spirit, that you have absolute objectivity. The teaching of the Word of God. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your Word, for your Word is absolute truth. We claim your promise that your Word will not return, but will accomplish all that you designed it for. We ask you to sanctify and bless it. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and even so come. Lord Jesus, amen. We have pointed out to you that the Lord Jesus Christ, Hebrews chapter 3, holds the office of the apostle, meaning he is the chief apostle. Why? Because all the other apostles are appointed to serve underneath him. He is the messenger, the apostle of God the Father. As such, he holds the authority over how you and I function doctrinally. Think about what I'm going to say here for a second. Acts 2:42, that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The doctrine taught by the 11 apostles by gift and office, plus Matthias, who became the 12th as the apostles to Israel, then by Paul. Paul was chosen as the apostle who was to write down the doctrines of the church. The doctrines of the church is what we have in the Pauline epistles. How to function in action. The mystery of being part of the mystical body of Christ. The concept of what it is. The apostle's doctrine, though, is centered in the person of Jesus Christ. He says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Holy brethren, sanctified, set apart persons, partakers of the heavenly calling. Companions, the same word is translated fellows, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9, where we read, thou hast loved righteousness, hate iniquity, therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. We are the companions of Jesus Christ, and we follow him as our apostle and high priest. He is the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. So actually in the Greek there it should be confession. Our Christian way of life is called to serve under Jesus Christ, who is the one at the top, as a chief apostle. He holds authority over us. According to Acts 2:42, they continue to steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. Alright, we follow in the doctrine of him. Then we have the fellowship. The fellowship that we have, Bernia, is the fellowship around the doctrine that is the living Word of God. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was made. They made that was made. And was life, and the life was the light of men. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints of the marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts. and tests the heart. The Word of God is alive and powerful. It's alive and powerful because the person of Jesus Christ is alive and powerful. It's His doctrine, it's His Word. And He takes up residency inside our human spirit. If we said the Holy Spirit takes up residency inside our body, soul, and spirit is His representative to make it alive. The Holy Spirit is what quickens. So, Christ is our apostle and our high priest. And it's important that the word apostle appears in the Greek. Apostolos, the messenger of God the Father, the head of the whole thing for the church this way. Before the word high priest, this is the only place where this title is given to Christ. But it stands him out so that we can see that as we approach him as our high priest in our prayer and our worship and our service, we do so lined up the doctrines that he has set down through his messengers, the church age believers, the apostles to the church age believers. We live in the dispensation of the grace of God the Father. We follow then the Lord Jesus Christ this way. These are two of his titles. And those that teach that his title as prophet was all over with when he ascended into heaven, he didn't become a priest to Lent, but they miss out on the fact that Christ was a priest when he prayed his high priestly prayer. John chapter 17, he was a priest when he took himself, because the priest took the sacrifice. Priest put the sacrifice upon the altar. Christ put himself upon the altar of the cross of God, on the cross of Calvary. His body was the altar. His soul was the sacrifice, as we've taught you more than once, according to Isaiah chapter 53. He did not enter fully into his high priestly worship till he entered into the Holy of Holies in the third heaven, the temple in heaven. That's true. Temple on earth was patterned for the temple in heaven. The original temple on earth was the tabernacle, was, remember. The temple would be the place where the angels had worshipped him. It's the creation of the angelic world. This was his tabernacle. He had to cleanse the things in heaven polluted by Satan. It was Lucifer, the original fallen angel who introduced sin into the world. We don't know all the details of these things. We'll learn these in eternity future. Christ holds the title of high priest. He holds the title of the head of the church. The head of the church. The authority over the church. But I want you to look and concentrate on the shepherd part of it. The head is the authoritative part. The head does the thinking. The brain is in the head. We think doctrine. We have to let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, have the attitude of Christ Jesus developed in our soul. The attitude that comes through the filling of the Spirit and doctrine rather than the soul. The attitude in which that Christ manifested when he condescended as God to become man, to become a little lower than he is. The attitude that was manifested in his humiliation when he went to the cross. Because he did these things, the name of Jesus, the Father, has exalted above all names. Now we want to look at him as the shepherd of the sheep in faith, rest, living. We faith, rest, and trust the Father to take us through every test, whatever they may be, because he has given us Christ. There is one God and mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who stands between us. Each name of Christ we point out to you has a special meaning. Kurios, K-U-R-I-O-S, Lord, is his deity, is the eternal Son. Jesus, I-S-O-U-S, Jesus, is the name of his humanity. He is true God, he is true human. Christos, C-H-R-I-S-T-O-S, is his office or appointment. The Greek for Messiah, the Hebrew word Messiah. But Christos shows him as the Messiah, emphasizes his coming to Israel using his Hebrew title. The Greek title emphasizes that he came and what he is to us in our unique dispensation. He's I call Messiah in the New Testament, they call Christos, it's written in the Greek. Kyrios Jesus Christos, Emmanuel. Emmanuel represents this in hypostatic union as the God-man, who is the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He had to be both God and man to be the mediator, and to be equal with both. Emmanuel matches his name for that. Looking at Christ through all these titles, we come to the fact that Christ is the shepherd of the sheep. He holds the title of shepherd. He holds the office of shepherd. And this goes along with his apostolic office, as they had the church would agree on that, because he is a shepherd that goes beyond our dispensation, which is the title that belongs to him as the great shepherd, given to him in Scripture, and one that we have to examine and to appreciate. We find then that the present work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we saw him as the head of the body. Now we see him as the great shepherd of the sheep. We've seen him as the last Adam, the new creation. And the important figure used to depict the relationship between Christ and his church is that of the great shepherd of the sheep. The time of Abraham, Israel was known as a people who raised sheep. Therefore, it was a part of their daily experience to know the characteristics of the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. It was a natural development that the term shepherd should be used to represent spiritual overseer who would care for his congregation in much the same way the shepherd would care for his sheep. There are frequent allusions to the work of God as a shepherd in a significant way. Psalm 23:1 immediately comes out to us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. We'll come to thee and look at that a little bit in more detail at the right time. This is the song of David. Song of David, reflecting the Lord as my shepherd. Psalm 80, verse 1. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubim, shine forth. So we see the title shepherd greater than just the church, because he was a shepherd to Israel. He was a shepherd to David. Ecclesiastes 12:11. The words of the wise are as goads, his nails fastened by the masters of the assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further by these, my sons, be admonished by making many books, there is no end, but much study is awareness of the flesh. The allusion then to the shepherd concept is there. That notice it comes from one shepherd. Isaiah 40, verse 11. He shall feed the flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them to his bosom, and shall gently lead those who are young. Who is the one that does this? the Lord Jesus Christ, of course. Isaiah 63. Look back at Isaiah 40, verse 2, first of all. Sorry, I should have given you that one. I'm sorry. I don't know what Isaiah 40, the next one I want is Jeremiah. This is Isaiah 63, 11 to 14. My apologies, Isaiah 63, 11 to 14. Then he remembered the days of old Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put the Holy Spirit within him, that led him by the right hand of Moses in his, with his glorious arm, dividing the waters before them, to make himself an everlasting name, that led them through the deep as a horse in the wilderness, that they should not stumble. As the beast going down the valley, the Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest. So didst thou lead thy people to make thyself a glorious name. Jeremiah 31:10. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scatters Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. See, he is the shepherd of his first and foremost. Ezekiel 34, 23. And I will set up one shepherd over them, he shall feed them, even my shepherd David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. 37, 24. Ezekiel 37, 24. And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. John 21, 15 to 17. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said to him, yea, Lord, thou knowest thy love. He said to him, feed my lambs. Not Peter's lambs, my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said to him, yea, Lord, thou knowest thy love. He said to him, feed my sheep. Tend my lambs, tend my sheep. Christ asked, do you love me? Agape, deep love, integrity love. That was the Lord, the man. But Peter answers with phileos. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, love us this time. The Lord takes the word phileos. Tommy, Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, lovest thou me? And he said to him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest I love thee. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Now, here we have the changeover from Israel to the church. Because he's speaking prophetically, this is his last sermon. He's returning with the servants there. He's dealing with Peter and John there, as we know. And then the next passage will be there when Peter turns and sees John walking behind him and asks about him. In Ephesians 4:11, the term is used for the pastor-teacher. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some shepherds. Hominos, kadidaskalos, the pastor and the shepherd. The same word. The same word. Byron says in his Dictionary of the Shepherd, Poimen, P-O-I-M-E-N, is used as the natural significance of a shepherd in Matthew 9:36. Matthew 9:36. I'm sorry, I told you to turn to John 10, but we're going to be spending a lot of time. But when you give these introductory passages, we're going to spend in John 10, just relax. When he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Literal sense of sheep and a shepherd, with the fact that the people of Israel lacked a shepherd. Matthew 25:32, Mark 6:34, Luke 2:8. Look at Luke 2:8 for a moment. The rest you can look up for yourself. Luke 2:8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock. Why not? Aren't these religious shepherds over a flock? They use them in the natural sense of a shepherd over a sheep to the people of Israel, without a leader. Luke 2:8, 15, 18, 20. It's used in John 10, 2 and 12. In the natural significance, it's used metamorphically of Christ in Matthew 26, 31. In Matthew 26, 31. And said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. Speaking to Israel, to the 11, as the shepherd of Israel, he says the shepherd will be smitten. He speaks of himself. Light the shepherd, because Zechariah 13:7, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man of my fellowship, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. I will turn my hand on the little ones. Mark 14:27. I want to familiarize you with the title that it's used for a reason here with Christ before we get into John 10, so we don't make any mistakes. Mark 14:27. And Jesus said to them, all you shall be offended because of me this night, as it is written, I will smite the shepherd, the sheep shall be scattered. And then John chapter 10, we're now ready to look. First we have it used in a natural sense, John 10, 2. We entered in by the door. Is the shepherd of the sheep, but he that entered in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Verse 12, but he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not seen and are not, seeth the wolf cometh and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. The wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. Verse 14, and I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. Here we have Christ, verse 16. The other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I will bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Well, this is a unifying term, a shepherd. Christ is not only king, but he is shepherd. Look at Hebrews 13:20. Remember, we've already seen he is shepherd over Israel. This is a great title, an ignored title so many times. Hebrews 13. Now the God of peace that brought them again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, to the blood, the everlasting covenant. I want you to notice something. The shepherd of the sheep, the title of the Lord Jesus Christ here is the great shepherd of the sheep. It's connected to the everlasting covenant between the Father and the Son. Part of the covenant between the Father and the Son to make Christ the great shepherd, 1 Peter 2:25. Find him clearly over the church. For you were as sheep gone astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishops of your soul. Metamorphically, it's used as those who are pastor teachers, we said to you in Ephesians 4:11. Pastors hold the title of the shepherd. Now, Peter 5:4, we read, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. The pastor, the shepherd, the one who tends the herds of flocks, not merely one who feeds them, is used metamorphically. A Christian pastor in Ephesians 4:11, pastors guide as well as feed the flock. Look at Acts 20:28. Take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Now, back in verse 17. From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. What we see here is Paul the apostle. He tells him in verse 28, take heed therefore of yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood, where to feed them and attend them. Committed to the elders, the overseers, the bishops, meaning all the pastors. These are all different titles for it. 1 Peter 5:1-2, for the pastor's duty and responsibility, which I'm doing to you now. The elders which are among you I exhort, who are also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight, therefore not by constraint, but willing, not by not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Christ is our shepherd. The pastors are under shepherds of the flock. Yes, sir, to the Lord Jesus Christ directly for what we do. He holds the pastors in his hand. This is often missed and forgotten by people along the way, including the pastors who are doing the work. Hierus, H-I-E-R-E-U-S, for the word priests are brought together. It's frequent in the Gospels, Acts, and Hebrews, but they're only in the New Testament. It is used of Christ in Hebrews 2:17, 3:1, of chief priests, including the ex-high priest and members of his family. While Archipomene, A-R-C-H-I-P-O-I-M-E-N, is used of a chief shepherd, Archi, A-R-C-H-E, chief, just as we have in the chief priest, is used with Pomene, P-O-I-M-E-N, as a shepherd, though, instead of Christ in 1 Peter 5, 4. The Archipomene is used in modern Greece for tribal leadership. So we have here Christ as the chief pastor, the chief priest in his work with the church. We look at all of 1 Peter 5, 1-4. We're still in John, just hold on 1 second. The elders which are among you I exhort, who are an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples of the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Those who take places of leadership, even in non-spiritual contexts, were often called shepherds, Isaiah 44:28. Thou saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure. Even saying to Jerusalem, there shall be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. It's interesting. Cyrus is said to be, he is my shepherd. Now, look back at 1 Kings 13:2. And he cried against the altar, and the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born in the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense, and upon thee, and men's bones shall be burned upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying that the sign of which the Lord hath spoken, behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes upon it shall be poured out. Now, the comparison we have here is Josiah was mentioned 300 years before his birth. Cyrus is predicted by Isaiah, his name by Isaiah. And 200 to 300 years before he would carry through. Chapter 45, verse 1, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the 211 gates, and the gates shall not be shut. The only instance where the word nor it is applied to a Gentile. Nebuchadnezzar is called the servant of Jehovah in Jeremiah 25:9, 27:6, and 43:10. This was the designation my shepherd in Isaiah 44:28 also. A messianic title marks Cyrus as a startling exception, a Gentile type of Christ. The points are one, both are irresistible conquerors of Israel's enemies, Isaiah 45:1, Revelation 19:19-21. Both are restorers of the holy city, Isaiah 44:28, Zechariah 14:1-11. Thirdly, through both is the name of the one true God glorified, Isaiah 45:6. 1 Corinthians 15:28, Isaiah 45:6 says, that they may know from the rising of the sun from the west that there is none beside me, I am the Lord, and there is none else. So we see Cyrus laid down as a type of Christ to show us the concept of the importance of the term shepherd and Christ's work. It relates to Christ and his second coming to Israel. So while he is a shepherd to us in heaven, he will be a shepherd to them. He is a shepherd slain. He will be the shepherd resurrected and coming back. Isaiah 63, verse 11. He remembered the days of old, Moses said, and his people saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him? Sheep without a shepherd represents individuals or nations who have forgotten God. I'll let you look up the scriptures. Numbers 27:17, 1 Kings 22:17, 2 Chronicles 18:6, Ezekiel 34:5. And 8, Zechariah 10:2, Matthew 9:36, and Mark 6:34. Now, we're going to come back to this illustration. And develop upon it a little further along in our study. Even in modern times, the term shepherd has been perpetuated. The term pastor is applied to the shepherd of the church. The word sheep is a sense of one who is offered as a sacrifice, is used by Christ, referred to as the Lamb of God, Isaiah 53:7, John 1:29, Revelation 5:6, among others. In Scripture, Christ is presented then as a shepherd in these three types. Relationship. Now notice this, we have three illustrations. Christ is a good shepherd giving his life for his sheep, Psalm 22 and John 10. Christ is the great shepherd in his present work, Hebrews 13:20. Thirdly, Christ is the chief shepherd who will be manifested as the King of glory, caring for his own at his second coming in 1 Peter 5, verse 4. Again, we'll look back at 1 Peter 5, 4 for just a second. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Of particular significance to the present and what we're dealing with here is the relationship with Christ, the great shepherd, and his present work in Hebrews 13:1. Because we have the fourth work of Christ, of the shepherd, as a shepherd of Israel, a work he performed in the past before he became the person of the Lord Jesus Christ as God the Son, and a work that he will perform again beginning at the second advent. And the fulfillment of the figure of the great shepherd Christ seeking his own, the concept is seen in the parable of the lost sheep in Luke 15:3-7. We should look at that before we do John 10. I apologize. Luke 15:3-7. And he spoke this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lost one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go out after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you likewise. There shall be likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 that need no repentance. Christ, using the concepts of the lost sheep there, a more extended revelation of the presence work of Christ as shepherd is laid down in John 10, where we go to now. Whereas a good shepherd, he lays down his life for sheep. As a great shepherd, he has other sheep who are to be added to the flock in John 10:16. This is a reference to his present ministry to the church, where both Jews and Gentiles form one flock under the church. F.P. Myers in the Gospel of John says, these other sheep must be Gentiles ourselves. They belong by birth to the most exclusive race that has ever existed. Our Lord's sympathies overflow the narrow limits of national prejudice. He is the Son of Man. In these words, he's not only shown that his heart was set on us, but he sketched the work which was to occupy him through the ages. In calling his sheep, Christ used the convicting work of the Holy Spirit in John 16:7-11, the proclamation of the gospel through God's appointed servants, as well as other means of bringing the lost sheep to himself. All right, now let's examine John 10. King James translation of John chapter 10. Begins, I'd get my Bible back to it. My apology. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up as some other way, is the same as the thief and the robber. He that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not seen, the wolf cometh and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, that the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, they also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, I have the power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There is a division, therefore, among the Jews for these things, and many of them say he hath a demon and is mad. Why hear you him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Now, John chapter 10, verses 1 to 21, the Good Shepherd's message. Although the events of chapter 10 occur almost 3 months after chapter 9. Look at chapter 7, verses 2 and 37 to see something here. Chapter 7, verse 2. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. The Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of the Booths, is held in the falls. Verse 37. In the last days, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." All right, this deals with that. Then we come to chapter 10, verse 21, we read. Verse 22, I'm sorry. And it was at Jerusalem, the Feast of Dedication. It was in the winter. Feast of Dedication was held in December. John joined the narratives of the chapters without a break. The reference to the blind man in Genesis 10, 21. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Chapter 10 compromised extended metaphor comparing Jesus and his followers to a shepherd and a sheep. So we have the jump ahead in time-wise to bring us this important passage on Christ as the great shepherd of the sheep. The principle then that we see, we come down that we, in Christ here, will become so clear to you because he is working, I think, because he is working with us today. The shepherd's work of our Lord has three aspects. As the good shepherd, he giveth his life for sheep, John 10, 11. I am the good shepherd giveth his life for sheep. It is therefore the door by which if any man enter in, he shall be saved. John 10, 9. I am the door by which if any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go in and out and find pasture. This answers to Psalm 22. He is the great shepherd brought again from the dead of Hebrews 13, 20 to care and make perfect the sheep. This answers to Psalm 23 is the sheep shepherd who is coming in glory and giving crowns of reward to the faithful shepherds, 1 Peter 5, 4. This answers to Psalm 24. We have three psalms in a row there, 22, 23, and 24. Psalm 20, these form a trilogy. In Psalm 22, the good shepherd gives his life for sheep, John 10, 11. In Psalm 23, the great shepherd brought again from the dead through the blood of the everlasting covenant, Hebrews 13, 20, tenderly feeds and cares for his sheep. In Psalm 24, the sheep shepherd appears as a king of glory to own and reward the sheep, 1 Peter 5, 4. So we have I repeat the principles to you so you can clearly understand what we're looking at in John chapter 10. Now, verse 1, I'll give you the NASB to those of you who use that so you've got both translations. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he who does not enter by the door in the fold of the old sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. The fold of the sheep is a walled enclosure, open to the sky with one entrance and holding several flocks of sheep in the ancient world. Truly, truly, it takes us back to John 1, 51. In John 1, 51, we read, and he said, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, you will see the heavens open, and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Christ was telling them, these disciples to be at the beginning of meeting with them, what lay ahead, what they were going to see. Truly, truly, I tell you the solemn truth. It's found 25 times in John. It is never found in the Synoptics. It is always spoken by Christ and introduces an earnest announcement that stresses his unique authority. The Greek word for truly is amen, A-M-E-N, from which we get the English word amen. Jesus is the authoritative amen in Revelation 3:14. I am the amen. Truly, truly, I say unto you. The Greek for you in verse 51 becomes a plural addressing the group. The disciples will see previews of the coming kingdom. That's when he says, the heavens refer, see the heavens open, referring to a new phase in Revelation. Isaiah 64:1, Ezekiel 1:1, Matthew 3:16, Revelation 4:1, 19:11. Like Jacob's ladder that mediated between heaven and earth. Jesus will be humanity's access to God and God's communication with humanity. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And John 10:9, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The concept, the Son of Man, is a messianic title of one Jesus who exhibits both human and divine characteristics and receives an eternal earthly kingdom. Psalm 8, 4 and 5, and Daniel 7, 13 and 14. When he proclaimed to them, truly, truly, amen, am, emphasizing what he had to say, and spoken only of him, putting the message in a special way. A Jewish family could have several flocks in one sheepfold and assign a gatekeeper for nighttime to guard the single opening. The shepherd went by the door into the fold of the sheep to get his particular flock out for grazing. A thief needed to sneak over the stone wall enclosure to steal sheep. Fold the sheep, then the wall enclosure open to the sky with one entrance and holding the several flocks of sheep. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, who climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hears his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. He leads them out. The doorkeeper guards the sheep at night. In the Old Testament, the shepherd was an image of an ideal leader, a king. God was supreme shepherd. We saw in Psalm 80, verse 1, Isaiah 40, 10, 11. The Messiah is the king shepherd, Ezekiel 34, 23, and 24. We've already looked these up. 37, 24, Jeremiah 23, 1 to 5, and Matthew 2, 6. Look at Matthew 2, 6. New Bethlehem, land of Judea, are by no means less among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel, the ruler and earthly king, the supernatural one is meant, who will shepherd my people Israel. What did he say to Peter? Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. The one who comes and says, I am the shepherd. I am the chief shepherd. Makes it clear. Peter's three denials. In John 20, is answered in John 21, by Peter speaking three times of his love relationship with Christ. Repeating three times, but with three concepts. You have three levels of feeding that has to be done. As taught in 1 John. You have baby believers, adolescent believers, and mature believers. Jesus enters by the door. He is a legitimate shepherd. And he fulfills messianic prophecy just as the best man stands with the bridegroom in John 3:29. Look at John 3:29. He was the bride of the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made full. The friend of the bridegroom is the bridegroom. Christ must occupy the prominent place, so John the Baptist's place as the friend was unique, and he vicariously participated in the joy of the bridegroom. Now, so the words to him, the doorkeeper, opens. The best man stands with the bride keeper, so the doorkeeper stands to the shepherd. John the Baptist's role as forerunner of Jesus in John 1:6-8. Typifies this first of all. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about that light so that all might believe through him. He was not that light, but he came to testify of that light. John the baptizer, his role makes clear in verse 8, was simply as the witness to the light. There are others that argue that the doorkeeper should not have any symbolic significance, but it does in the fact that he's speaking to Israel first of all in his message. And John the Baptist was the forerunner. The sheepfold represents Israel. Verse 16. I have other sheep which are not of this fold, and I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. The one flock with one shepherd does not occur until the Pentecost. We enter into the new dispensation of the grace of God the Father, also known as the dispensation of the mystical body and bride of Christ, the dispensation of the redeemed church universal, the dispensation church of the heavenly royal family of God. The other sheep are the Gentiles who believe, and with converted Jews form the one spiritual body of the church. Look at Ephesians 2:16. And might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross by his having put to death the enmity. The sheep, those who have believed in the one true God of Israel, recognize the voice of Jesus, the true Messiah. Look at John 5:37. And the Father sent me, he has testified of me. You neither hear his voice any time nor see his form. The Father bore witness to Jesus through the Old Testament and at his baptism. Verse 38. You do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe him whom he sent. 46 and 47. For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. And if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? John 8:47. He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason you do not hear them, because you are not of God. Leading out means within the metaphor that the shepherd takes him out to find food and water. On the spiritual side of a metaphor, it means Jesus provides spiritual sustenance for his sheep. Everything is done through Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Not just for salvation, but for all of the blessings that we have. Paul says, "By God shall supply all your need according to his abundant riches in Christ Jesus." Philippians 4. We're told to ask the Father, "Give us this day our daily bread." But we pray the Father through our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this becomes a pattern that we're to look at. Verses 4 to 6, as we'll see, shepherds in Israel will lead their sheep. He goes ahead of them rather than drive them. The sheep respond only to the voice of their shepherd. They would not follow a strange voice. Much as a blind man refused to be convicted against Jesus by the Pharisees, Jesus spoke the figure of speech to the Pharisees. Verse 6, but they didn't understand because they're blind. As we'll look at this in the next class. They taught that they were true sheep of God. They thought they were, but they were not. Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word. For your word is absolute truth. We claim your promise. Your word will not